Susan Hannan, you and I have done this over and back. I am in absolute awe of you. You're a female trailblazer. Not only do you work with the FB, but you're a mechanic on the lifeboat here in Dunmore East, and you're off climbing Everest every other weekend. Susan, it's lovely to meet you.
You too, Dimpson. You managed to snap me this time.
Susan, we've done the most glorious tour here down of the whole facility in the Ornoli in Dunmore East. We're standing here on the lifeboat. How did you become the mechanic?
I suppose there's a couple of things. So with my background, I am an electrician by trade, and this boat is heavily electrical, so that certainly helps. But I wouldn't be where I am without the crew on the lifeboat as well. Specifically, talking about some of our full-time guys, we have a full-time mechanic in the station, David Murray. He really got me through so much, went through everything with me. A number of what we call resilience people as well. So they'd be coxswain mechanics, and they'd help support the station as well. And I've been very lucky that we've some very highly skilled people. Guys from Kilmore Quay, one of our resilience guys, Trevor Devereux. So we've a lot of help. But for me, I think it was the support of the people around me that got me through it. I think as well, having the background, an electrical background, I was pretty quickly flagged as, you know, this would be a good position for me. Yeah. But I'm glad it was, because I really do love working on this boat. Yeah, I'm very lucky.
And you can see your face light up. We went downstairs to, what did you call it, the survivor's area?
Survivor space.
Yes, survivor space down there. And the engines are just beyond that. It's a very small space. As you explained, it gets very hot. But your face lit up. You're obviously so passionate about it, Susan.
I am. And again, it's because of the influence of people. You know, I learned from the best. I've been heavily influenced by the fantastic people in Dunmore East, especially those involved with the lifeboat. Not just crew, but everyone from fundraisers to our ops teams, to the shop. Like, it's there's nearly 60 people of a family that support in the background. So I think none of us would be here without the community of Dunmore East being down on this boat and getting excited about it. It's because of everyone else's influence, especially the likes. I'm going to call him out on it again. David Murray, like, he's fantastic. You know, he's such a good guy, and he helps everyone in the station. We're all heavily influenced by him as well. So,
and we saw a timed exercise earlier in terms of getting all the gear on. It's a very quick time, but I suppose we have to remember that when you get the call, it means that somebody's loved one is in distress.
That's exactly it. Yeah, like, for us, the priority is getting out there, and, you know, hopefully, you know, even if it's a mistake, even if it's not a person that's in trouble, like, we still want to get those calls, because it's better to be safe than sorry. From when our pager goes off, we have to get from our home to the station, we have to get from the station into the crew to get changed into our yellows and our lovely heavy life jackets here, and then we have to get down on the boat. But we can do it in 7 to 10 minutes, and it's a full crew of six that we can get out as well, so it is speedy.
And everyone on this boat has their own individual roles, so everyone has to be confident that they know exactly what they're doing once you get out on open water. You must have to work well together, Susan.
We do, we work very well together, and what a huge part of that is our training. So we train twice a week, so we go to sea twice a week. And if we can't go to sea, we'll do shore-based exercise as well. You know, we have navigators on the boat, we have mechanics on the boat, we've coxswains, we've got crew members. Everyone is a huge part of this, and they play a very special role. And everyone works to the highest of their ability. As well as that, we have specific training plans too. So we are assessed as well to make sure that we're competent to go to sea. So we have assessors from the RNLI that will assess us. We also may have to go to pool as well, like for myself and coxswains and the navscan as well. You can go to pool and you have to go through a system of, for myself, it's like DC electrics, mm-hmm. or it's mechanic, or it's, you have to do sea survival. So there's loads of other things that we have to do to keep our training to the highest standards so that we are safe to go to sea as well.
And keeping your spirits up, because if you're on a call, you could be out. I know it was mentioned earlier, there was a 12-hour call at one point.
You get to know each other when you're that long on a boat for 12 hours. You kind of get the sense of where everybody is, and it's kind of, you support each other. But do you know what? Sometimes you're at sea, and what feels like half an hour is nearly 3 hours. You know, so sometimes you don't even realise that you've actually been out as long as you're out as well.
I'm immediately going to ask you this because you made the mistake of mentioning it. Mm-hmm. Somebody pulled up beside us and said, you know, that they know your father. And you said, oh God, people often know my father before they know me.
Oh God, he's going to kill me. my dad is Harry Hannan, so he's, I don't know, just everyone seems to know him. Like, you know, as soon as I say his name, they're like, oh, you're his daughter, all right, you know. Everyone knows him. It's insane. Yeah, I can't go anywhere. And I, a few years ago, my dad was in Australia and he was walking through Sydney and he was going to my brother and he hears us, how are you, Harry? And somebody in Sydney, Australia knew him. Like, it's actually ridiculous. So I can't go anywhere. Yeah, yeah.
Harry, if you're listening this morning, good morning. Susan Hannan, thank you so much.
Thank you.